who don't act right, for a bunch of us who gossip sometime, for a bunch of us who rob God, for a bunch of us who lie sometime. I wish I had somebody, but he still laid it down. The Bible says that he took up his cross, went down to Via Dolorosa, got up the hill that's called Golgotha, but later on it was called Calvary, laid down on the cross. He said, no man take my life. They put nails in his hands. They put nails in his feet. They hung him high, but they forgot what he said. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you want men to draw, lift up Jesus. Somebody say yes here. But he died. But before he died, he had enough love that he talked to one man who was looking for paradise. And he said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Look at the love of God. Went down into hell and preached to the captives the love of God. And the Bible says that he took captivity captive, came back to the grave. It was the love of God that had him die, but it was the love of God that made him rise up. Anybody know he rose? The Bible says that it was early. Somebody say early. It was early Sunday morning when he got up with all power. Somebody say, won't he do it? Won't he make you powerful? Won't he do it? Won't he heal your body? Because of love's sake, won't he save you? Won't he bless you? Won't he make your enemies your footstool? Won't he open doors that's closed in your face? Because of love's sake, say, won't he do it? Won't he, will he? Will he, won't he? Somebody say yes and give God some praise. I manifest love. Love is the message that we need. Love is the message we should preach. Love is how we should manifest. I didn't come to be a lawman. I came to be a love man because I love you, man. Somebody say yes and give God praise. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you may not have wanted it, but you got it now. Now it's on you to carry the message and manifest the love that God put on the inside. Come on, talk to your neighbor and say, neighbor, he's been preaching a long time, but it's time to go. Look at the other neighbor. That neighbor ain't interested. Say, neighbor, say, oh, neighbor, I may not know three things. I may not even know two things. But one thing I know. I know he's all right. Is he all right? Say yeah. Say yes. Is he all right? All right to live with. Much better to die with. Say yeah. Shout glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burden down. Anybody feel better? Say, I'm laying it down. I'm laying unforgiveness down. I'm laying bitterness down. I'm laying hatred down. I feel better. Say yes. Somebody did me wrong, but that's all right, because God will take my wrongs and turn them into rights. Say yes here. Shout glory. I'm not worried about the persecution, because what I know is that one of these days he'll pick me up, turn me around. Somebody say yes and glorify his name. Won't he do it? Say, won't he do it? Say yeah. Say yeah. Manifest. The manifestation of God's love.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968. Muncie, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Muncie, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
That I want us to look at is Christ's authority, and it's so important for us to understand the authority of Jesus in the earth realm as believers, because some of the things that I think we deal with and some of the things that the Lord wants us to operate in an authoritative fashion, we miss because we miss his examples. And so when we begin to see how this word unfolds, there are several places, Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2, and Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, pretty much says the same thing. And I'll read out of Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 18, where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And then when we walk back into Mark chapter 1 and we see how Mark presents Jesus in this opening message, and we begin to see how Jesus takes this authority in several areas over the courses of these verses from verse 14 through 34. The first thing I want you to see, because from verses 14 through 20, we see how Jesus takes authority over servants. Now, this is important because if you're going to be a leader, you got to know who you are, whose you are. You got to know where you are and where you're going. You've got to know who you're calling and who's with you. And so here he begins in verse 14. The word says, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." Now he came in there preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Why? Because he had authority to do so. He had been anointed to do so. He had also been appointed to do so. Verse 15 says, "And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Now, you've got to repent before you can believe, because when you repent, what you say is, "God, I messed up. I'm sorry. I've been in the wrong way. Now I want to get in the right way. Do in me as only you can do." Now you can believe what the word of God is saying. See, a whole lot of us miss it because we can't believe the gospel because we really hadn't repented. We've got some other stuff in our hearts and in our minds concerning how things ought to be. And we've got to repent from trying to do it our way and learn how to say, "God, let's do it your way. It's clear your way is the best way." So notice here again, verse 16 says, "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee,
He saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were what? Fishers. And that's what fishers do. Cast nets. So here they were casting nets. The Bible says, and Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway, look at the response, they forsook their nets and followed him. Can I tell you, when he told those boys, look, if you follow me, I'll make you to become fishers of men. Look at the fact that his authority was so positive and powerful that they straightway, immediately, without hesitation, without reservation, dropped the nets, the natural nets, and followed Jesus. Now, here's what they knew. Jesus said, if you follow me, I'm going to still let you be fishers. But I'm going to make you fishers of... Now, they had caught fish, all kinds of fish, but they ain't never caught no men. And Jesus said, I'm going to allow you to apply the principles of fishing to men, and you will be successful fishermen, fishers of men, if you follow me. This was exciting. This was new. This was revelatory. And they dropped their nets immediately, the Bible says, straightway, and followed him. Now, this is important to understand. Verse 19 says, and when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee and the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Now, every time Jesus called those to follow him, that he would make them fishers of men, to call them into the vocation out and away from their occupation, they immediately responded to him. Why do you think they responded so quickly? It was because of his anointing. It was because he had been authorized to call those from out of the world and into the kingdom to do the work of God. There is such a powerful call on the call. And because the call is so important, it is powerful on the called. He just said, come, and they got up and went. Because he was anointed to call folk to come. And see, that's why we've got to understand how the church has the power and the ability through the witnessing of the Lord Jesus Christ and ministering the word of God. And when you're able to call folk for one reason, because you've been anointed to call folk, listen, people are waiting for the call. They just don't know where it's coming from many times. And sometimes they don't know who it's coming from. But I've got news for you. When it comes, they know it's the called, and they're ready to turn and forsake the way of the world and the things of the world to come to the Lord Jesus. That's why it's so important for the witness of the believers. And I thank God, again, for our evangelistic ministry, who shares and shows folk the way of the Lord and who puts the call of the Lord out in the place where those who are expecting a call from the Lord, listen, are anticipating that call. And then there are some who know they're looking for something, but they don't know what they're looking for. But I got news for you. When they find it, they're going to know they found it. Have I got a witness in the house? Well, look again at verse 20. It says, and straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee and the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Now, that's authority. Tell somebody, that's authority. Left the father, left the ship, left the people they hired to work with them in the ship, and followed him. That's an anointing, an authority that called the people from their occupation to their vocation, to their true call. Do you know a whole lot of folk are just spending their time going through the motion, getting up, going to jobs, Monday through Friday, or Monday through Saturday, or sometime Monday through Sunday, going through what they do just because it's something to do to bring in income, to make a living with, but they're not actually living the way and operating in the gift and or the calling that God has called them to. And so they're waiting for that anointed call of God to lift them to a new place, to take them to a new area, a new arena of life, so that they can function truly the way God wants them to function. So Jesus' authority in verse 14 through 20 reveals to us that he had authority over the servants. But that's just good for a partial part of ministry. Because if you only have power over servants, and if you read the rest of the verses, and don't have power over the spirits, well, then you got some more major issues. Let's look at 21 through 28, and let's see what happens. Bible says, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, on the Lord's day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished, listen at this, at his doctrine. For he taught them as one that had what? Authority, and not as the scribes or the lawyers. You see, there are some people who know the word of the Lord, of the law, or the word of God from study, from reference books, from study materials, from training. And they have a knowledge of the word of God, but no anointing on it. No revelation on it, no rhema on it. They know the words on the page. They know the historicity of the text, the antiquities connected with the text. They know all of the stuff that they've studied, but do not have a divine revelation about what's in the word. And the scribes could teach it like some seminary professors. Many of them, I was amazed when I attended this seminary in New Orleans, that many of them taught as a profession and not as a vocation, a calling. In other words, they thought that teaching was good and they wanted to teach something good, and so they chose to be a professor in seminary matters, but they had no call on their lives, and all they could do was disseminate information. But they couldn't put no revelation on the information, no insight, couldn't tell you more than what was written on the paper. And so it amazed me, because you could always tell the anointed professors, because you had church in class. They'd have to quiet the class down, let me get back to teaching if you don't mind, because of the revelation knowledge that came forth out of the text. But I want you to understand this, because when you look at this, he goes on and the word says, he taught as one having authority, not as the scribes, not as the folk who just picked up the book and desired to be a teacher and could teach because they knew the principles of teaching. Verse 23 says, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Notice, listen, the demons were in class. And they were never stirred up to say nothing till a teacher who had an anointing on his life stood up to teach. Now look at this, look at this, look at this, because I want you to see this. The Bible says, verse 22, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Now, I told you, Luke already told us in the 18th chapter, the 4th chapter, and the 18th verse, and the 19th verse, what Jesus was saying and what he had come, how he had been anointed to preach. So he was preaching and ministering, and under that authority, that anointing was so powerful that it woke up the demons. It disturbed them from, I see so many times on Sunday morning, demon try to sleep in here. And when the word goes forth and the anointing's on the word, you look at them, eyes are red like fire, and they look at you like if they could hurt you, they would hurt you. But the anointing is too powerful. And it shakes the very core of their reality. Listen, you cannot stay in the presence of the authority and the anointing of God and remain the same. Notice here what the Bible said. Verse 24, the Bible says, saying, let us alone. This is what the demon cried out, the unclean spirit. What have we to do with thee? We wasn't bothering you. But it's clear you bothering us. I want to throw this out for those who are listening. Anointed, unauthoritative preaching and teaching doesn't bother demons. Y'all catch that on your way home somewhere. Saying, let us alone. Jesus wasn't talking to them at that point. His anointing was so powerful, his authority was so powerful, that they knew they couldn't stay under that and be the same. So they cry out, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us?" Because they knew he had the power to do so. "I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." Now listen to this. The demons knew something the people didn't know. That's why they got scared, because they knew who they were listening to. They've heard some other folk talk the talk, but now they were listening to one who could walk the walk. "We know who you are, thou Holy One of God." Listen to this. "And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him." Jesus said, "You interrupting my class now. Shut up and get out." That's all he told him. Listen to the word of God. "And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this?" Look how they talk. What thing is this? That ain't no holy talk. That ain't no holy folk. They're folk in a holy place, listening to a holy man who has a holy word. And every unholy thing is shaking and trembling because of his authority. Again, the Bible makes clear. What new doctrine is this? It ain't no new doctrine. It's a new anointing. It's a new authority. They were used to folk who didn't know this. They were folk used to folk who didn't operate in the spirit. And so they came in dry and dead, and they left out dry and dead, and it was nothing different. They might have gotten new knowledge, but not new revelation. And the Bible says, "For with authority commanded he even the unclean spirits, and they," listen, "not did, but and they do." Tell somebody they still obey him. Y'all ain't getting this. "And they do." Still right here 2,000 plus years, "and they do obey him." See, that same authority is what you got to understand that Jesus had, that he has left with the believer. And it's in that same authority that these demon spirits still do obey him. Listen to verse 28. "And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee." Now, verse 14 through 20 reveals that he had authority over servants. And then when you move further and you go into verse 21 through verse 28, you'll discover that he has authority over spirits. But then the last few verses, I want to look at verse 29 through 34, you're going to discover that he has authority over sickness. Now let's keep moving, because I want you to understand the authority of Jesus. And why is it important, again, that we understand his authority? It's important that we understand his authority because it's that same authority he left for us. See, you might not get too scared if you see how Jesus has operated in it and was successful. And listen, he didn't leave this authority just to the pastor or just to the preacher or just to the heads of churches. He left this to the believers. Some believers don't even hold no position in church. But that don't stop them from being believers. And that authority and that power flows through the believer's life, which makes them able to do what Jesus has done. And you got people in position who can't do it because they're not believers. Lord, I wish I had a helper in the house. Well, let's read again. Look at what it says in verse 29. "And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them." Now look at his authority over sickness. Now I want you to note something here, because there are so many ways that the power and the authority of Jesus' manifestation over sickness operates. Sometime he laid hands on him. Sometime he spoke it. Sometime he made a salve and anointed eyes. I mean, sometime just the sheer power of his anointing in his spirit, and all those who heard and just heard him received it. But listen, all of those things happen because of one true reality, because of the authority and the anointing that came from Jesus. Amen. Now, here's what you need to know. There is no one set way to be healed. Amen. That's the point I'm trying to get to. You don't always have to be with somebody putting their hands in oil and laying it on your head to get a healing. If you believe.
Amen. Amen.
If you believe. Matter of fact, the woman with the issue of blood did not desire a conference with Jesus. Wasn't waiting for him to lay hands on her. She believed in him. And she got to the point where she said, I can't wait a minute longer. Because I know if I could touch him. See, I need to throw out sometime you can get your healing by touching Jesus rather than waiting for Jesus to touch you. See, when you've been sick long enough and tired of being sick long enough, when you really won't, because you believe in the authority of Jesus and you align your faith with the word of God, then it will happen for you. He meets you where your faith level is. Oh, how I thank God for the doctors and the medicine that we know of and have today. And they are capable of doing their job in the natural realm. And I thank God more so for doctors who are saved and sanctified and filled with God's Spirit, who's able to combine the spiritual realm with the medicinal realm and bring those two together. But I'm here to tell you, wherever your faith is, God will meet you there. She said, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, that's in the 5th chapter of Mark, I'll be made whole. And that's what she did. She didn't sit and listen to the sermon that day, because that wasn't what she came for. She was focused. See, a lot of folk were there because they didn't really know what they were there for. A lot of them were there to see Jesus. And guess what? They saw him. A lot of them were there as spectators. And so as a spectator, they got a spectacle. But they didn't leave with no soul satisfied. They didn't leave with a healing or a deliverance, because as a spectator, all they came to do was to spectate. And so many worshipers on Sunday morning come just to spectate. Put on their clothes with no expectation of a miracle, no expectation of God moving in the place, no expectation of a supernatural operation of God. They just came to church. Because it's what they do at 7 o'clock on Sunday mornings, or 8:30 or 11 o'clock. They just came to church. They wanted to hear a message, hear some singing, and they were going home. But that was no expectation. But this woman had an expectation. And because he had authority over sickness, and listen to this, the healing that comes to the believer is manifested by faith. Now let's go back into the house for a minute and see this. The Bible says, and forthwith when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother, his mother-in-law, lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately, didn't say a word. He just lifted her up, took her by the hand, and just pulled up out of that bed. Never said, be ye healed, woman. Didn't speak to the fever and say, fever be gone. Didn't curse the devil, Satan, I curse you in the name. Didn't do none of that. Just grabbed her hand and lifted her up. Listen, the anointing was all over him. And I want you to see something. When he touched her, he transferred it. Now, she might not have known what was going on, but the demons in her, the sickness knew. What. When sickness met the divine healer, sickness said, oh, well, I guess I got to get on up out of here. And it left her immediately. And immediately the fever left her. And listen, when the fever left her, it wasn't no reason for her to stay laying in the bed. You know, there is a healthy time to rest, and then there is an unhealthy time to rest.